Time for Gaza Corner, which we do around 11 o'clock every Saturday night. And we'll follow it with music from Palestinian singer Amal Merkis, who I met at length when I was in Israel last October. And this is her brand new recording. So we'll be getting to this after the part of Gaza Corner where I share something which perhaps you don't know about, or maybe a different perspective about it. And when I come across a news story that's important to me, generally what I do is I try to find a lot of different news sources so I can kind of get a more complete picture. And a case in point is a recent headline in Newsweek, and you can actually see these headlines at tangents.com on the homepage in the far right-hand column as you scroll down. And the headline, this was recent, it said, Israel plans for billion-dollar artificial island off Gaza's coast. So I played with the words, and I Googled and found various takes on this story. Another one was a Washington Post headline, which had a couple of important changes. It said, Israel wants someone to build a $5 billion island off Gaza. A couple of important points not evident in the headline of Newsweek. And then another news source, IsraelNationalNews.com, their headline was completely different. It was quoting Transport and Intelligence Minister Israel Katz, who is behind this proposal for this artificial island. The headline reads, Gaza port would absolve us of responsibility for Gaza. The most revealing story came from one that was old, from March 30th, 2011, from The Guardian UK. The headline, Israel may build artificial island off Gaza Strip coast. Again, that's like 5 years ago. But it's subtitled, environmentalists, plural, say that plans are complete madness, quote unquote, and warn public to be skeptical. And also that article goes on to quote Katz as estimating that the cost for this artificial island would be $10 billion. Somehow in 5 years, it's gone down to $5 billion. If you only read Newsweek's coverage of this story, you'd be not only poorly informed, in my opinion, but probably left with the impression that this is a win-win. How could anyone be against it? Newsweek reports Israel is advancing a plan to build a billion-dollar artificial island off the coast of Gaza to connect Gaza to the rest of the world. That billion-dollar price tag is quickly upped in the next sentence as it reports the project would cost some $5 billion. And again, Katz had said $10 billion 5 years before. The article in Newsweek also says very plainly that the island would have a seaport and an airport. That is entirely misleading, but you wouldn't know it if you just read the Newsweek article. It's misleading because if you go to the IsraelNationalNews.com story, it's an interview with the guy who is proposing this. Again, Transport and Intelligence Minister Yisrael Katz. Quote, we have no desire to do the physical building, but rather to create a system of international countries that will make the port. And in the distant future, maybe even a private airport. It won't be under Palestinian sovereignty and rule, unquote. That's a hell of a difference from Newsweek reporting unequivocally the island would have an airport. Katz makes his pitch in a manner that's hard to argue if you don't know the details. Katz says, quote, I do not think it is right to lock up 2 million people without any connection to the world. Israel has no interest to make life harder for the population there, but because of security, of course, it's always that, and because of security concerns, we can't build an airport or seaport in Gaza, unquote. The Washington Post states Israeli Minister Katz, again, he's behind the proposal, said Israel is actively seeking financial partners for the $5 billion project. Let's be real. The better term is Israel is looking for financial sponsors, not partners. For folks who believe this plan would pose a significant expense for Israel, Katz insists, quote, definitely not. Not even a single shekel, unquote. The Washington Post goes on to say, Katz insisted the project is no fantasy island and it has deep support in Israel's security cabinet. And from all left, from the right, from the center, well, this isn't surprising considering Israel is proposing a plan where they are determined not to contribute a single shekel to the building of a $5 to $10 billion artificial island, which, if completed, in Israel's mind, would be a PR coup as they try to convince the world Gaza is no longer an open-air prison due to this island. None of the recent articles that I found did the research, or at least printed anything about how long it will take. It's pretty important missing information. But if you go to the 2011 article in The Guardian UK, Katz estimated that the project would take up to 10 years to complete and cost $10 billion, but take 10 years to complete. And the 2011 article was the only one I found that covered the point of view from that of the environmental community, who describes the venture as fantasy, quote-unquote, and madness, quote-unquote. Quoting from that article, a spokesman for the Israeli Ministry of Environmental Protection said they had not been consulted about the project. Previous plans for a deep water port in the Gaza Strip have stalled because any developments could cause massive damage to the whole coast of Israel. Gidon Bromberg, director of Friends of the Middle East, Friends of the Earth Middle East, described the project as, quote, complete madness, unquote. Quoting Gidon, this sort of thing makes no sense whatsoever. The environmental implications would be felt along the coast of Gaza and Israel. Even the building of a marina caused a 2-mile scar of beach erosion in Israel, which the developers' planning had not predicted. The public should be very skeptical, unquote. In Israel's planning, a bridge is the crucial component in the scheme, allowing access to the port to be tightly controlled. According to the Washington Post article from June 22nd, a bridge could be closed during Israeli military operations. And though the Israelis don't say this, according to the article, a section could be blown up in an Israeli airstrike during a war, cutting off the harbor. Critics describe the Gaza Island proposal as another attempt by Israel to blunt criticism over the dead peace process, and using the words in the Washington Post, and the trade and travel restrictions, unquote, which is a very polite way of saying a word which I guess the Washington Post likes to avoid using, blockade. To blunt criticism over the blockade that Israel has imposed on Gaza since 2007. And this important tidbit emerges at the end of the Washington Post article. Katz concedes that so far, and remember, it was first reported on at least as far back as 2011, but so far, all that exists is a paper study and some drawings, and that's it. Palestinians have been begging for a small, ordinary port built on the shoreline, the kind that You see on many little Greek islands, enough to handle a ferry or two and a couple of small freighters. Gaza is the sixth most densely populated area on Earth. On Earth, 1.85 million people crammed within 141 square miles, most of whom depend on food support from the UN. Ghassan Khatib, spokesman for the Palestinian Authority, said that if Israel wanted to improve the lives of Palestinians, there were lots of simpler measures that they could take. If they want to help, they must end the siege on Gaza and allow the reintegration of the West Bank and Gaza and the establishment of a Palestinian state. Then they are welcome to make proposals, quote-unquote, Ghassan Khatib. Tanya Hari, who is executive director of Gisha, an Israeli human rights group focused on Gaza, said that if the Netanyahu government really wanted to help Gaza, there were many more immediate, less expensive ways to buttress the economy and provide relief. She said markets already exist for Gaza's products in Israel and the occupied West Bank, but Israel denies permits to move the products. Quote, what is the real motivation behind this island proposal? Harry asks. Itamar Yaar, a former deputy head of Israel's National Security Council, suggested other less expensive options. Floating islands, for example, or a direct shipping line from Cyprus secured by Israel, or how about just more land crossings? And finally, Makamir Abu Seda, a professor at Al-Azhar University in Gaza, said, quote, how does this artificial island work without talking to Hamas or the Palestinian Authority? The problem of Gaza is political at the end. The best solution, as we already said, is to end the occupation and let Palestinians have their own state in Gaza and the West Bank that is connected and livable. The links to what I just spoke about you can find at tangents.com on the homepage. The music tonight is from Palestinian singer Amal Merkus. We also have on the playlist a link to a review of this album in Haaretz. The album is entitled Fata Alward, which means The Roses Bloomed. Amal Merkus on Gaza Corner on 91.7.
Oh, hoti, oh, hoti. law.
Nawati from Amal Merkis, the new CD, Fata Alward. And the only place we know of that you can get this CD is at her website, which is Amal, A-M-A-L, Merkis, M-U-R-K-U-S.com. And the link is at the playlist at tangents.com. I'd like to play one more piece. This is entirely different. This is a cappella, the only a cappella piece on the CD. It's called Ule Noha, which means declare. She says, as long as I have 1 meter of land, a tree of olive, lemon, cactus, and a spring, as long as I have a recollection and a shelf of books, Arabic words and folk songs, 2 eyes, lips, and hands. With them, I'll face my foes and avow my war by the name of the free and the honest.
من أرضي أشبار ما دامت لي زيتون ليمون بئر وشجيرة صبار ما دامت لي من أرضي أشبار ما دامت لي من أرضي أشبار ما دامت لي زيتون ليمون بئر وشجيرة صبار ما دامت لي ذكرى مكتبة صغرى ما دامت لي ذكرى مكتبة صغرى ما دامت في بلدي كلمات عربية وأغان شعبية كلمات عربية وأغان شعبية ما دامت لي شفتاي ما دامت لي عيناي ما دامت لي شفتاي ما دامت لي عيناي shower. Bismillah.